We knew the economy was going to turn at some point, but you never really can be prepared for timing or speed of change.
I hope this cycle we're in doesn't take us back to the days of regulatory purgatory, where everything we did had consequences.
As the world continues to change, we have found out we need to be even more nimble as we move forward.
By requiring things like business continuity planning and pandemic plans, we need to think proactively about what we need to do in the future.
We better grab our helmets and start getting prepared today.
Banking is a risk business, but in today's environment, we are being faced with uncertain times. Financial institutions have always had partners who could help evaluate, address, and mitigate risk, but today they need to lean on those partners more than ever. Welcome to Bank on Whitfley. Each episode will feature discussions around industry issues, hot topics, and current trends, giving you an insider's look at how top performers and professionals are staying ahead of the curve. All right, let's get into today's conversation.
Welcome to another episode of Bank on Whitfley. My name is Mike Vessel, and I'm a partner in the financial services practice and the host of Bank on Whitfley. Digital transformation has certainly been a buzzword of late. Many of us have been going through the digital transformation, whether we wanted to or not, over the last year or so. So we've had to react to branch closures, work from home expectations, and so on. Given many of those changes were reactive in nature, organizations are looking ahead in an attempt to be proactive in the future in addressing how they expect these changes to continue. Today's podcast, we're going to discuss digital transformation in the industry. What does digital transformation really mean? Where are we at in the overall process? How do we get started on the journey if you haven't started already? I'm pleased to have Lisa Nicholas with us today. Lisa is a director in Whitfley's financial services practice, specializes in digital transformation and marketing for the financial services industry. She's worked with companies to transform their marketing, sales, and operations function with a focus on transformation from traditional to digital by leveraging technology and data. She was recently chief digital officer for a billion-dollar financial institution and previously the president of a leading digital transformation CUSO. Lisa is a frequent speaker on digital and marketing topics. Welcome, Lisa.
Thanks, Mike. Very nice to be here.
So, Lisa, maybe the first question, what the heck does a chief digital officer do?
Oh, a lot of different things, actually. So, chief digital officer leads the vague term of digital transformation throughout the enterprise. And in some cases, they might lead online banking pieces, e-commerce pieces, all the different digital pieces.
Great. Sounds like a pretty broad job responsibility, especially in today's environment.
Yeah, for sure.
So Lisa, digital transformation is obviously a buzzword, and actually it's more than a buzzword, but we do hear it a lot today. Like a lot of other buzzwords or terms, it means a lot of different things to different people and organizations. So tell us what digital transformation really is and how does it or will it impact our organization?
I think I hear lots of different things around what is or isn't digital transformation. But in my opinion, it is the ability to really connect your customers and your employees. And I know we've all overheard the 360-degree view of the customer, but digital transformation is about automating processes. It's about reducing the number of systems you're logging into one central point so that you can overhaul your business, your operations, and really connect your customers and your employees and all the experiences that center around those two so that you can move the customer forward, the employee's not frustrated, everyone really is connected.
So it sounds like digital transformation is pretty broad topic, as we mentioned before, and it does encompass a lot of different things. So how should a financial institution or financial services company gauge where they're at today and whether they're really ready to start or maybe continue on that transformation to digital?
Yeah, I think they can, you know, you can ask a few key questions, right? And if the answer is no, then, you know, you're likely not doing digital transformation, or maybe you're just beginning. But if your employees don't have truly a 360-degree view, and what does that mean? That means that they can see everything on one screen. They can see any service-related request and the status of those requests, any products that might be missing. It's using artificial intelligence. We hear that a lot as well, but truly using AI so that it might recommend the next best product or the next best action for that particular customer. You're logging into one system. No more multiple logins. One system for the most part. I speak to a lot of different clients, and sometimes I hear when I ask this question, they say, well, we have 23 systems or 30 systems they have to log into. Well, how can you serve the customer if you have that many systems to log into? You can't do it quickly, that's for sure. So it's definitely not a frictionless experience. So those would be some of the things. I think the other thing would be that if you're using a lot of spreadsheets to track results or do certain things, you shouldn't be using spreadsheets with digital transformation. That should be automated, and spreadsheets really pretty much should go away for you. Lastly, I'd say engaging with the customer using really the behavior-based engagement pieces. So are you connecting in what's happening on your website throughout the organization? Is there true transparency where you can see everything in one place about your customer?
So are you saying that if we have 23 different systems in your example, that we really need to move towards one system, or we need to work towards more platforms that'll just talk to each other on a more regular basis?
Yeah, I think banking's tough. You have a lot of legacy systems that we're dealing with and core providers. So you have to figure out a way to have an engagement layer. And so underneath that, you might have the core system, lending system, so an LOS, or multiple systems, but bringing those together and really integrations are the key. How do we integrate in real time, not in near time? You might have some near time, and not in batch processes. I see a lot of organizations, they'll invest in technology, hoping for a better result. But until we come together and really integrate all of those systems in real time, it's going to be really challenging for organizations to digitally transform.
So are financial institutions really ready today to start the transformation to digital?
I think it depends on mindset, Mike. I think that some are and some are not. If they have the right mindset, and to me that means that they are willing to look at digital transformation as a digital branch. So we would not go into building a branch, for example, without architectural documents or having the right people involved and really including pretty much the entire organization, right, when we're doing that. And so why would we do that for a digital branch? I see a lot of organizations where the executive team or CEO is not really on board, or they're putting it into a different department or part of some one person's plan. We're trying to digitally transform the enterprise. Transformation is a big word, and it takes change. It takes commitment, both from resources and financially. So you really need to make sure that you're committed to this as if it were like building a branch, right?
No, I agree with that. So where is the industry in the whole process of digital transformation, in your opinion? You work with a lot of institutions. You've got a lot of background in that. Where do you see the industry on the continuum?
I think that most, if not all, that I've spoken to are trying to transform and really struggling with it for the most part. So I think as an industry, everyone's trying to figure this out. And I think the big piece of this, or one of the main keys, right? There are a couple of main keys. You have to have the right executive team and CEO on board with this. And the other is just you're going to have to make a financial commitment, because there's no off the shelf necessarily. And there are different ways to approach it, right? You can crawl, walk, run, and you can have a self-funding model to get there. And you really just need to start somewhere. But a lot of organizations, I think sometimes in banking, we have to have everything that's perfect, right? We're dealing with people's finances and we want everything to be perfect before we launch. But in the case of digital transformation, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. You can crawl, walk, run, sprint your way there, but you've got to get started somewhere. If you're going to modernize, you have to start somewhere. And that might mean taking on smaller projects instead of a full end-to-end digital transformation.
So in your opinion, what percentage of financial institutions have started the digital transformation process, and how are you measuring that?
I see lots of surveys out there. Financial Brand Forum got lots of data around this, right? And they're saying about 50%, maybe more now, right, are trying to engage in a strategy. And only 3% though successfully transform. And that's because a lot of this is around integrations, and we have to figure out the integration piece of digital transformation, because that's what's going to drive operational efficiency. That's what's going to drive, you know, huge gains in production as well, when we have the data where we need it instantly.
I think your point about the, you know, number of institutions that are ready to try something here, but I think a lot of them are hesitating to some degree because maybe they really don't know how to start, as you mentioned, or they're looking at it and saying, I don't have unlimited resources. I had a banker probably a year and a half or 2 years ago now tell me that, hey, we only get one shot at this. We can't afford to do it twice. We have to make sure that we're really in the right mindset. We have everything, all our ducks in a row to be able to make this a success. So on that point, where does an institution really start with the digital transformation if they haven't already started?
Yeah, I think when I go into organizations, one of the mindset shifts I see is they go at this with, well, we need to invest in technology. So they have a technology first approach. And that is, in my opinion, not the way that you do this, right? First, you have to have a strategy and a roadmap and a plan to get there. And so that roadmap really needs to lay out by each area of the business, how you're going to get there. What is in the first sprint, we call it, or first quarter, and the second quarter and third quarter, and how are we going to approach this? And then what is that going to cost? And then what are the success metrics around that? So having a plan, really setting the stage and a good foundation to work from. Now, you got to keep up with that plan, and it's not a set it and forget it plan. You have to learn as you go and be willing to fail fast. I think that's another thing that we're not used to doing in banking, failing fast and adjusting and moving, right? Once we set something, we're like, no, we have to complete it. But in the case of digital transformation, sometimes you have to be, a lot of times you have to be agile, and you have to be able to fail fast and move quickly.
So you mentioned before that there are many areas that digital transformation can cover. Operations, you know, technology. You know, when we're starting that process, Lisa, how do we determine which of those areas are most important if we can't do all of them at the same time?
I think it depends on the organization. Sometimes operational efficiency is where they want to start. Now, I will say, when we start with operational efficiency, one of the pieces that kind of funds that or pays for it, right, is people, because that's a big part of our OPEX cost. So you have to be willing to figure out how you're going to deal with the people side of this. And the other big piece of operational efficiency, again, is integration. So the more integrations you have, the more expensive it becomes. I've seen a lot more success for organizations that need more of a self-funding or need to be able to pay for this or show really quick results is on the production side. And so the way that we determine that is, well, what's your focus? Are we commercial real estate? Are we consumer? So B2B versus B2C? And what are we trying to achieve? So we really look at the strategic plan when we're making those kind of decisions to determine which we're going to go with first. And then what do those success metrics look like, so that we can make sure that we're hitting them and have a really solid plan moving forward.
You mentioned people being one of those important considerations there. And I've seen, especially on the operational side, where institutions have said, we need to get more efficient, whether it's through changing processes or adding technology or what have you. And in a lot of those cases, it's not necessarily to get rid of people to save costs, but it's to build for the future and say, I'm not going to have to add people, but I can certainly add capacity. Are both of those legitimate, or do you see more organizations going this route and cutting people as a result of that transformation?
Yeah, that's why I warn against the operational efficiency, because I definitely don't see organizations cutting people. I see them redeploying, or they find new roles, or new, you know, you upskill them is another big thing that I've seen happen with organizations, is the employees get very excited about this. And it's a new skill for them. And so you start upskilling them and they move into different roles. And so that's probably the better approach to digital transformation. I guess sometimes a story is best, but we had a situation where they were 100% paper, and we transformed them in 3 months to 100% digital. So, I mean, they had paper clips on the desk, if they took an hour to put their paper out on the desk, like that was the situation. And when we transformed, obviously they didn't need all the people that they had, but what they did is redeploy them and upskill them and kind of redeployed them in the organization or just upskilled them to support the digital aspects.
Yeah, and I think that upskill is important, an important point to make, because if we're not upskilling pretty much everybody in our organization as all sorts of transformations, not only digital, but all sorts of transformations take place, then we're really missing, I think, an important point to move the organization forward.
Yeah, I agree. And I think culture is another big piece of this, right? When we're talking about transformation, I've made plenty of mistakes around the people aspect of digital transformation and making a lot of assumptions like everyone loves digital transformation and change as much as I do. That is, couldn't be more opposite from the truth, right? So you have to you have to consider people and how the pace of change. And again, that's where that digital roadmap comes in and really having that crawl, walk, run, not just from financially, what can we take on, but how much can our people take on? How much change have they just gone through a core conversion? Like how much change can they handle? And a lot of this is process change, right? We're completely changing, not just putting new technology in. That's easy. It's the process change that has to happen to transform.
And these changes may have some people step up and shine in that transformation process. I would assume that you never would have thought had we not gone through this, correct?
Absolutely. And I think as you go through this process, what happens, you know, we kind of named a few of these as unintentional resistors and intentional resistors, right? The intentional resistors immediately are like, oh, this is never going to work. It's another system. You know, you go through those motions, but it's the unintentional resistors of digital transformation that can make it challenging because they seem like they're on board. And then as transparency starts to happen in the organization and you're starting to connect, for example, your SLAs and service level agreements and escalations, and you have a dashboard of goals versus actual, for example, and a leaderboard. Sometimes you can see what's happening in the organization and everyone can see, and then they start resisting the change. And that's where your CEO and executive team are going to become critical in moving you forward and over or through that brick wall.
It's interesting, even though we're talking about digital transformation today, a lot of this still comes back to people. So
people.
There's no way we're going to avoid that, I guess. So Lisa, what are some best practices perhaps around digital transformation that institutions should be aware of?
I think there are really five, right? I think that CEO support is critical. Iteration is imperative, right? You have to be able to iterate. And that's part of that consuming change piece, right? If you put everything out there and say, here it all is, people can only retain so much, right? A lot of this is meant to help them and it will help them. But having an iteration and allowing them to take this on one step at a time is really important. Technology first approach. Let's not do that anymore. Please, let's have a plan, understand what we're trying to achieve, and then think about technology. Technology, I've seen so many organizations just shift. They'll buy another piece of technology. Oh, that didn't work. It must be the technology. It might not be the technology, right? It might be that we need to look at our people, our processes, and then technology will do the right thing. Now, definitely cases where technology needs to be changed out. So the last thing I'll say is just unclear digital transformation goals or a plan. You have to have one moving forward.
And as you said, it needs to fit in with your overall strategy. I think that's a key point that you made earlier as well.
If digital is not part of that overall strategy or changing the customer experience is not part of your overall strategy, then you might consider just pushing a digital initiative altogether.
So can you give us some examples of what successful digital transformations you've seen or been involved with?
Sure. Yeah. So many great transformational stories. I guess I'll start with one about website personalization and really changing the entire experience digitally for the customer when they visit the website, right? When we have so much data in banking, like so much data, what do we do with all that data, right? We're not yet making it useful, in my opinion, right? We have to start looking at digital body language, right? Because especially now, they're not coming into their branches like they used to, right? They're online, and they're online a lot. And so the ability to take our first, second, and third party data, so our first party data is data we own, second party data is, you know, we might purchase that data from, for example, if I'm auto lending, you know, cars.com data, and then third party data is like demographic data. But we need to be able to take all that information and shift out our website so that all of our images, our content shifting out, we're really being useful and providing useful next best product, right? Next best action. What is it, my goals even as a consumer? If I have goals, is the institution helping me get to my next goal? And are you doing that in a digital way? And then if I happen to call in, and I think this is another good point, right? The blending of physical and digital, you still need people. When I call in or I visit a branch, I can see that I was on the website and I was on somebody else's website, for example, searching on maybe I want to start a new business or I want a new car. We should know those things and not be creepy about it, but we should be helping our customers move forward in their financial life. Whatever those goals are, we should help them move forward. And we should use things like our website and the data that we own to do those things.
So you mentioned customer experience before and pose this in the form of a question. You know, people talk about we need to change our customer experience. Is that because we simply need to be proactive, or we need to keep up with what customers are seeing in other organizations or how they've changed their habits over time, and especially the last, you know, year or so?
I think that perhaps everyone's a little lost in this whole thing, right? And we sometimes lose sight of what we're trying to do with digital transformation. So, you know, I think providing the customer a better experience should be the goal, right? So if we're going to the website and engaging, here's a good example, product recommenders on a website. Do I have information that the customer can move through? Maybe it's a real estate product. And I just have some questions. I just want to know what products you might recommend. And then I want a rate quote. This is another great story of transforming digitally, the ability to put that on the website, let the customer self-select and answer their own questions, get a rate, and all that information is pushed back to a CRM system. And then they get an outbound call, for example, from someone at the institution to help them further down that road, is really helping them with their financial goals in life, right? We're not just being a product brochure on the website, for example.
Mm-hmm. And if we aren't doing it, somebody else is, right? I mean, we see that every day with things that show up in my inbox, I know, where, you know, I haven't even looked at something my wife has, but it shows up in my inbox. So that information is certainly out there, and that artificial intelligence that you talked about before as well.
And I think this is where we start blending in the digital aspects from a marketing perspective and an advertising perspective and how we can be useful there, right? All these things have to come together and work together. And you don't want to send that same message, right, 30 or 50 times. One thing, it's very wasteful, right, from a marketing perspective and a budget perspective. If you're serving up the same advertisement and they're not even interested in a home, for example, they need a small business loan. It's a completely different product. So we really need to be merging all these pieces together, the marketing side, what is the customer saying to our employees, and what are they saying online?
When we talk about cost and so on, you know, we're really in an environment today where institutions are concerned about profitability. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We've got margin compression, economic circumstances related to shutdowns, limited opportunities for non-interest income, you know, other rising expenses and so on, including technology costs. So what advice would you give to an institution, and maybe particularly a smaller institution, related to digital transformation? Do they have to keep up with the Joneses, you know, the larger institutions? Where should they be on that, you know, continuum? How do they justify the cost if they really don't know or can't fathom exactly what the benefits would be in tangible, in numbers? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they should not keep up with the Joneses for sure. They will fail at digital transformation. They don't have enough money to do it, right? So I think for smaller institutions, I've seen work really well is more of a project-based approach, right? Let's figure out within the organization what we need. Is it real estate? Like what, maybe it's centered around a product, for example. And we're going to transform that particular experience, both front and back end. You're going to limit the number of systems you have to pull in, right? Instead of doing an enterprise digital transformation, we're just focused on, you know, this is even how I got my start into this whole digital transformation. How do you automate 360 degree view? Is I worked with the VP of consumer lending and we had an indirect portfolio. And so what I was able to do is cross-sell to those into the indirect portfolio. And I used technology to do it. But that really is how we got started. We used a small use case. We pulled marketing and consumer lending together. We digitized pre-approval offers and then used that for next best product as just one example. And that had such great success. We then added on real estate. And you just keep going and build on top of those success stories.
And I think, as you said before, if you don't have a success with that first one, don't stop. Figure out, right? Rethink what wasn't successful and adjust. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would say that is fair. And you really have to take a step back and maybe at that point you're looking at your technology. Do we have the wrong technology, right? Maybe that is why you can't move forward with your digital transformation because it's too hard to pull in the information that you need, or it's not easily consumed within the organization or externally to your customer.
Lisa, is there a way to get or measure return on investment in digital?
Absolutely. What I've seen in different organizations is starting small and starting to track marketing and advertising dollars that are being spent. How does that push production? And being able to track that in real time, we had a tool we named LOAF, Leads, Opportunities, Applications, and Funded, and all the advertising was tracked. So it was really a true attribution model so that we could see what was happening. And just a couple of quick stories on that. We eventually tied in profitability into that so you could even see how profitable certain advertising aspects were and members and customers. And so when we did that, you could easily drill in and, you know, we would have the frontline teams, the sales team say, oh, marketing's not working or we're getting too many leads. And then the CFO was upset because we're not seeing the production come in the institution. The ability to tie all of that in, what we were able to see instantly was to drill down and then see what was and wasn't working. For example, we were advertising at an airport and that's where a bunch of the bad leads were coming. It was an international airport. Well, we stopped doing that because we could redirect all the funds and instantly that problem stopped. Another example is we had leads coming in. We started advertising with Bing and there's nothing wrong with Bing. And this was one point in time. So I'm not saying don't advertise with Bing, but there was a particular product that we were advertising. Well, 80% of the leads that were coming in were not making it through to funded. So we stopped doing that because it was consuming the time of our agents and they weren't funding. So we stopped doing those and redirected the funds so that we were a lot smarter about what we were spending.
You mentioned before the fact that we have to have the CEO on board when we do any form of digital transformation. So how do I educate my board and senior management team and maybe the whole organization about digital transformation?
It is a process, and I think you have to come to them organized and with the stats and good success stories of others. Now that a lot of organizations have been moving down this road, there are good success stories and leveraging partners. There are a lot of great CRM providers and other partners out there that can help you put together these plans. Obviously, you know, this is what we do day in and day out, but you can leverage a lot of the different resources to help educate and put that information in front of your board and your CEO, really.
So I think, you know, the banking industry is really a small and getting smaller industry. Are there opportunities to share, get information from other organizations, other institutions along those same lines? Obviously, maybe not those that compete across the street from each other, but generally, I think the industry is pretty good about sharing information. Is that an opportunity for us as well?
Yeah, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of organizations where they will go on site, not so much anymore now that we're doing virtual events, but they will get with other organizations and have them walk them through some of their best practices. May not all be right for the organization looking, but I think there's a lot of that going on, and we should see more and more of that. Our collaboration is going to do nothing but help us when we're trying to, this is a huge topic, and more sharing needs to happen.
So how do I make sure my digital strategy complies with the regulation? In other words, we've got to keep the regulators off our back and fits within my risk appetite.
And this is a huge topic. So as I've gone through this and really pushed the boundaries, definitely had to get legal involved. And, you know, when you're talking about doing some more sophisticated pieces via the website and pixel placements, and we have to consider, you know, a lot of us have customers maybe originated in the States, but are overseas. So you have to consider their compliance, and you have to consider, like, California has different compliance, all these different pieces. You have to worry about tech regulation and the banking regulation. You got to blend those two together. So I had a lot of success really pulling in compliance, internal compliance teams, and then as needed, pulling external legal teams just to make sure we were going about this the right way and not violating anything.
So what barriers are out there to rapid transformation? If we want to start digital transformation, we want to go fast. What are the barriers that we might see or run into?
Yeah, your number one barrier is going to be vendors and people. So your own people will be a barrier because they're not going to want to change, or they're not going to agree with the way forward, maybe necessarily. And then your vendors are going to be a huge roadblock as well. Some of our vendors are just not, they don't have, and I don't want to get too technical, but they don't have true APIs that are bidirectional. And so you will have to work around some of those barriers that are going to pop up.
Maybe this is sort of the same question, but why do transformations, digital transformations, fail?
Yeah, I think they a lot of times they fail because, again, like we've talked about, there's no plan in place. And then when the going gets tough, they give up on it. They don't have the agile, let's keep trying, you know, and some of this is just going to be a little bit of R&D. It's not prescriptive, right, necessarily. I think there's some things you can do that are prescriptive, but a lot of this is you really have to change your organization and the processes. A lot of organizations I see come in and they just want to repeat the same process they've done for many, many, many years. And what you really need to do is ask why. Why are we doing it this way? I think a good example is I had a CEO, they had a consumer direct portfolio, and he wanted the autos approved within less than 30 seconds. And then he wanted every offer to be personalized to the person that was applying. And so what that meant for us is we had to completely have a mind shift what we were thinking, no disclosures up front, pull back, what is the minimal pieces of information that we need to change the customer experience. Once we did that, we saw, and then internally, right, we pulled that same piece. Here's an example. You have a lot of organizations that have one process online and then a whole nother system or process when you come into a branch or you call the call center. And so what we did is married those. So it was the same process. You had 14 pieces of information to approve, and each offer was one-to-one. So the system would give someone who was making $300,000 versus someone who's making $50,000 a completely customized offer automatically, like instant decision, automatically one-to-one. And that took them from under, I think they were doing like under 600 applications, this is auto loans, a week, over 800 overnight. And that's, I think, a really good example of changing the user experience on the customer side and on the employee side as well.
So I understand that you've got a pretty good crystal ball, Lisa. what does your crystal ball look like? What does it say as far as, you know, digital transformation for financial institutions in the future?
I think I get pretty excited about that crystal ball, because what I'm seeing is a lot more banks, credit unions, insurance, wealth, pretty much the entire industry, financial services industry, get excited about this topic and are starting to really research it. And I encourage, like, go research it, see what's out there around digital transformation, and learn about it and really start the conversations at the executive table and at the board table, and start talking about it and moving forward. Just start somewhere, and we'll all get down this road a lot faster, because what's going to happen is, as an industry, we will start to push our vendors, and our vendors will have to start to open up and really provide what we need to change the customer experience and our employee experience.
So is this transformation ever going to end?
I don't think it ever ends. I think we've been talking about this for decades now. I mean, like, way back, we called it one-to-one. Now we call it 360 degree view. Like, we're just calling it different things, but I don't think it ever ends. And I think the consumer, we all change, and different technology comes out and our expectations change. So we should never, I think that was kind of what got us here, right? We should mm-hmm. never let this go. And whether we call it digital transformation in the future or something else, the point is we should always be moving our customers forward and our making our employees' lives easier.
So Lisa, any key takeaways you want to leave us with as we wrap up here?
I think everyone should consider starting with a plan. Do a bunch of research, ask a lot of questions, use your vendors as resources, because they've, you know, especially in the areas of digital transformation, go do the demos, see what they have to offer, because I think that's one of the things that really help accelerate my knowledge, is doing the research and then demos, so I could see what was out there and then starting to formulate an opinion.
Super. Well, Lisa, I'd like to really thank you for spending the time with us today to go through this discussion on digital transformation. Really glad you could join us. If anybody has any questions or like further information, you can contact either your relationship executive or visit our website at www.wifley.com for Lisa's contact information. I think, Lisa, you've got some white papers and things out there as well that might be of interest to several people that are interested in getting further into this digital transformation process.
Absolutely.
Until next time, this has been a Bank on Wifley podcast.
You've been listening to Bank on Wifley. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and tune into the next episode as we feature insights from other leaders in the financial industry and even more ways you can stay ahead of the curve.